6, because as I prepared this week, I wound up elsewhere. So we have done the book of Ephesians. It is behind us. Kind of odd, because I think there was about 18 more sermons there in the last of Ephesians, but time to move on, I guess. So here we are, moving to the Gospel of Luke. And since, you know, it's like August, and the first part of Luke is the birth of Christ, which is best off looked at in December, we're going to skip that and go to Luke chapter 4. So what's happened in the Gospel of Luke up until this point is the angel Gabriel has came, and he has visited this woman named Elizabeth. He visited another woman named Mary, told them that they were each going to conceive and have children, and Elizabeth gave birth to who we would know as John the Baptist. Mary, of course, gave birth to Jesus Christ. And so it's the beginning of both of their ministries. Their childhoods transpire between chapter 1 and chapter 4. We don't know a whole lot, just snippets of the childhood, but here we are, John the Baptist, down at the river, baptizing people for the remission of their sins, and Jesus comes to be baptized, and there's a story about that in Luke 3, and Jesus gets baptized, and then immediately following that, he goes out into the wilderness. He says, to be tempted by Satan. So I want to read this morning from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. I'm reading from the English Standard Version of the Bible. So it may be different from your version. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Verse number 9. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended his temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Amen. Today, we will take a look at the temptation of Jesus Christ. It all begins in verse 1, where it says, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. You may have missed it, but right there was Jesus' first temptation. He was led by the Spirit. That is the first temptation for all of us. Will we allow the Spirit to lead us or not? You see, it's a choice. We don't think about it with Jesus. We just think, oh, he's led by the Spirit, so he just goes. But when you apply it to yourself, and you think, oh, he was led by the Spirit, so he thought about it for a week. He was led by the Spirit, but he decided he had to go to college first. He was led by the Spirit, but, you know the drill, right? This is the first temptation for all of us. Will we do what God calls us to do or not? Now, it is easy enough just to say yes. It's easy to stand here or sit here and say, you know what, when the Spirit leads, I will follow. And that's that. When it goes, I hear from the Lord, I obey, that's what I do. But I struggle with that question of, well, do I really? Because I did a little bit of research and I just picked the commandments that Jesus himself gave us. And I found 47 of them. The first one is just to repent. That means to change our lives. How different from the, if you've received Jesus Christ, how different is your life from the day after you received Christ to the day before you received Jesus? Was there a repentance? Was there a change in how you lived? Was there a change in how you dressed, how you talked, how you thought? Most of us, we took a long time coming around to the Lord's way of thinking. So it wasn't like repentance was just like toke. It was more like repentance was. Can you relate? But that's Jesus' first command. He said, that the scripture says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let's read some of the rest of it. Follow me. Jesus commanded, follow me. He commanded, rejoice. He commanded to let your light shine, to be reconciled. Do not lust, keep your word, go the second mile, love your enemies. He commanded us to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. He commanded us to practice secret disciplines, that's to go and pray. He commanded us to lay up treasures. We don't think about this because we think, oh, we're not supposed to lay up treasures. No, we're not supposed to lay up treasures on earth. But we are supposed to lay up treasures in heaven. He commanded us to seek God's kingdom first. He commanded us not to judge. He commanded us not to cast pearls before swine. He told us to ask, seek, and knock. He told us to do unto others as we would have others do unto us. He told us to choose the narrow way. He told us to beware of the false prophets, to pray for laborers. He told us to be wise as serpents. He told us to fear not. And he told us to hear God's voice. He told us in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he told us to come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am weak and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He told us, commanded us to honor our parents, to beware of the leaven, to deny ourselves, to despise not children, to go to offenders, go to people that offend us. He told us to beware of covetousness. He told us to forgive. He told us to honor marriage. He told us to be a servant. He told us to be a house of prayer. He told us to ask in faith. He told us to bring in the poor. He told us to render to Caesar. What is Caesar's? God, what is God? He told us to love the Lord. He told us to love our neighbor. He told us to await his return. He told us to take, eat, and drink of his body, which we do in communion. He told us to be born again. He told us to keep his commandments. He told us to watch and pray. He told us to baptize disciples, receive God's power, and to make disciples. You see, Jesus has told us to do all these things. That's 47 things that he told us to do. And we were like, well, the New Testament is not about laws and things we have to obey. The New Testament is all about grace. Yes, it is. And people who have experienced that grace and realize that they have been given a gift that they have not bought, that they have not earned, that they cannot earn, and that they have received the gift of heaven when they deserve the gift of hell, those people are then should be enthusiastic to do the things that the giver, God, has asked of them. And that's us. How are you doing on this list of things that I've read? I've got that crazy suitcase up there with all those stickers on it. So that you can just look, I wound up with five of them dominant on the front. Make disciples, forgive, be born again, love, take my yoke. So I have to ask you, how are you doing just on those five? Let's boil it down and say, how are you doing just on forgive? Troy brought up forgiveness. You know, we hold a grudge and 7 times 70. What a great illustration. We're supposed to forgive 7 times 70. We're supposed to let it go. Let it go and let God. How do we do with that? You see, the Spirit led Jesus in the wilderness, and the Spirit of God leads us to do these things. We all say that we want to follow the Spirit of God, but do we? Jesus begins his ministry by choosing to be led by the Spirit. Do we follow his example? Are we willing to follow the Spirit's leading, even if it leads us to hunger and hardship? This is the first question that every believer faces. Next, we read that Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. Which is different from being tempted by your grandfather. He is awfully cute right now, isn't he? It's hard to not play with them when they're in that cute mode. We read that Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by the devil. Not only is Jesus setting an example by following the Spirit's leading, but he also sets an example by submitting to the leading for the duration of the call. Are you tired of the devil messing with your life? If so, is it possible that you have just never spent the time that you were supposed to spend committing yourself to overcoming him? This is a big problem with many Christians today. I think we have it, a lot of us have it. I think that we see it nationwide with a lot of Christians. And here's what it is. Let's say they. Because they is like the mysterious people that is not us. So let's say they wade out into the waters on the shore of the river. They wade in up to their ankles. They know that they've been called to swim, but they kind of don't like the whole idea of getting wet. So they wade in, but only up till their feet are covered. And they know they're supposed to swim. They can see all the other guys, the saints out there, and they're all swimming. And they're thinking, so some guy's thinking, I don't want to go out there. I'm just going to stand here and I'm just going to do like this. And I'm just going to tell everybody, I'm swimming. And you know, one guy doing that is going to look pretty stupid. But if you start to get a few more, we might catch on. I become a new dance, become a YouTube hit. So you got all these people now lining the shore. They're all up to their ankles in water, and they're all just swimming. Their arms are going up and down, and they're just swimming.
And so then, all the people on shore who aren't even believers, they're all starting to look at that saying, well, I can do that. So here we got now, all the believers lined up in the ankle deep water, saying they're swimming. And now you got all these people who aren't even believers, and they're wading out into the river, up to their ankles, and they're swimming too. Everybody's swimming, having a good time, praising the Lord, being happy. Woo-hoo! Now all the people who are out there, who are up to their necks in the water, or over their heads in the water, they're all trying to swim and stay afloat by the power of God, but they're looking back on the shore saying, am I doing something wrong? I thought I was swimming, but they're all saying they're swimming. So now you see, the people, by wading in into their faith just a few inches, they brought in people that have no faith to stand with them. They've boasted about how great their faith is, and they've even diminished those who have a great faith down to their level, and so consequently, it's just a big mess. Too many people live out their faith just like that. They give false security to unbelievers, and they pull faithful believers back. Don't be that guy. If the Spirit leads you to the water, wade in until He says stop. Don't settle for the devil's trick of making yourself just look good to other people. Wade into the water, not until you look good, but wade in until you are God good. Because that's where each of us need to be. During the duration of Jesus' temptation, verse 2 says, He ate nothing and He was hungry. Following the leading of the Holy Spirit is not easy. Hear what Jesus said about it. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, He says, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 18 through 22, it reads, now when Jesus saw a crowd around Him, He gave orders to go over to the other side. And a scribe came up to Him and said to Him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Another of the disciples said to Him, Lord, let me first go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, follow Me and leave the dead to bury their dead. You see, following the instructions of the Spirit are not easy. They're hard. I ran across this quote last week. I thought I'd share it with you. And this is what the quote says. If everything you do succeeds, you're not trying hard enough. You know, it's like another bumper sticker I saw that says, if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. Okay? That's the attitude. That's how a faithful person lives. You see, we can apply this to our faith, because if the outcome of whatever we're trying to tackle is sure, we are not living by faith. So do your research, prepare yourself for whatever task lies before you, but listen to the Spirit's call, and when the Spirit leads you, follow Him. Step boldly out. Trust God in the wilderness. And when the devil is crawling all around, God will deliver you and bring you to places of untold wonder. if you will let him. Once we learn to live and function victoriously over the devil's influence, the peace that passes all understanding will take up residence in our lives. I've spent the last 18 years in this pulpit teaching you that the Bible only works when you follow its teaching. Now let me ask you, are you a more faith-filled Christian today than you were 18 years ago? Does the power of God flow through your being, giving source to the light of life and the hope that burns brightly within you? Does the power of God do that for you? If you answer yes, that's great. Keep up the good work. But if your answer is no, then it's time to connect with the Spirit of God that leads us. We begin that by taking advantage, doing daily prayer every day. Take a time, a minute, 2 minutes, 10 minutes, but take a time. Pray every day. Read your Bible daily. You say, oh, it's so hard. I don't understand so much. If you don't understand it, it's because you don't understand it. The way to understand it is to read it. So you keep reading it. And even if you come across a part you don't understand, keep reading. Later on, that part you might understand. So, daily prayer, daily Bible reading, daily meditation on God. So, every day you talk to God, every day you read about God, and every day you listen to God. This is meditation. Lord, I just want to sit here with you in your presence. I just want to talk to you. There's a lot of stuff going on around me right now. There's a lot of things that are happening. I just want to be here. I don't want to ask you for anything. I don't want to make any deals with you. I just want to be in your presence. I just want to think on you. Now you've stepped in to time of meditation. Take some time every day. Spend daily meditation on God. Number four, daily taking a chance to step a little deeper in your faith in God. That can be as easy as, I remember when we would go to public restaurants and I would think, I'm not praying. Christians that pray, they're the ones that pray. I'll excuse that way. We're in a public place, you're supposed to separate God in public. That's the way it works. So I'm not praying in public. But you know what? As time went on, I had to ask myself, why am I not praying? Well, I'm not praying because I'm embarrassed about it. Well, how faithful is that? Well, not too faithful. You see, that's part of the whole meditation thing. Engaging God in that conversation. And God saying, you know what? You'd be a better man if you pray in public. McDonald's? Yes. Dairy Queen? There too. What about the local cafe where everybody, there too? Oh man. So then I started doing it. You know what? Felt good about it. My faith began to grow. You see, it was that, taking that chance and stepping out. We have so many places where we can take that chance and step out. A friend of yours, it's an atheist, comes and says, I've got to go to the hospital and I'm a little worried about the outcome. Let me pray with you. Oh, but I'm an atheist. I don't pray. Sounds to me like if you're going to the hospital and you don't know the outcome, sounds to me like you need some divine attention on your life. Well, okay. I'll pray with you. You see, it's that stepping out, taking that chance. Of course, the atheist might say, you're an idiot. Get away from me. But you know what? If he said that, if he's going to say it anyway, he's already thinking it. So what difference does it make? Just be yourself. Let God be God. Now, if you're already doing those things in your daily Christian life,
life, if you're already praying, already reading your Bible, already meditating, already taking chances in your faith, great. But now it's time to take it up to the next level. Now it's time to teach others how to do those things. So you need to establish a prayer partner, or maybe a mentor-mentee relationship. Mentee, is that a word? I think I made that up. But take your daily Bible reading to a new level. So, you know, you do your daily Bible reading. Say you read 20 verses, and one verse sticks out to you. Copy that verse down on a piece of paper, put it in your pocket, and look at it throughout the day. Or maybe you're going to want to take and memorize a verse from your reading. That would be good. Or maybe you know it's going to take you, you know, you read every day, but, you know, you're kind of a slow memorizer, so you just pick one verse and you just keep working on it, because you want to go deeper into that Bible reading and put it more inside of you. I have a friend that shares Bible verses on Facebook night and morning. It's like, that's not a bad thing. I read a lot of them. It blesses my heart. I remember doing her father's funeral when she was in her young 20s. And none of them were following the Lord. Now she's sharing Bible verse night and morning. I'm thinking, there's something's happened in her life. She loves the Lord now. So, share your Bible verse, a portion of your daily reading on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, or any of the other chat things that I don't know about. So, just make it something more than it is. Number three, you can grab one thought from your daily meditation with God. And you can revisit that thought, here you go, three times each day for 3 minutes each time. So you're in your daily meditation with God, and you're like, God, I'm not going to pray at restaurants. I'm just not going to do it. And God says, you know, you're being a stubborn idiot. Now maybe you want to focus on that. Overcoming being a stubborn idiot. So maybe you just want to write that down. I'm a stubborn idiot. Put that in your pocket. And three times during the day, you want to pull that out. And for 3 minutes, you want to ask yourself, am I being a stubborn idiot about not praying? Yep. Yep, yep, yep. 3 minutes of thinking. Yep, yep, yep. And you know what? You do that three times, you'll change your life. Number four, daily taking time to step out a little deeper in your faith. Start a Bible study. Here's an easy one. Invite Christian friends over to your home. Like, oh, my house is such a mess. I got to clean it up first. Yes, you do. Clean it up. Sorry. If it's a mess, clean it up. Invite people over. Invite over Christian friends. You say, well, I shouldn't be evangelizing. I'll invite my lost friends. Don't invite the easy people. Invite the hard people. Invite those Christian friends. The ones that are going to come over. Look around the church right now. Look at some people that maybe you don't know very well. And think, you know what? I'm going to decide to get to know them better. Because I don't know. I don't know. You know, we're out of time. But let me ask you this, just with a show of hands. How many of you have lost a sibling in your life? A sibling that's died. Now look at that. Look around the room and see those hands. You see, all these people with their hands up all have something in common. Did you know that about one another? Maybe not, because you don't sit down and get to talk and know. And that's what we need to be doing. That's how we go deeper in our faith. And I want to say this. First thing, though, is if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, none of this is going to help you. Oh, it's going to change how you think. But it's not going to burst open heaven's gates to where you can see for all eternity. Because when you understand that no matter what happens and how bad it is, you still win in the end, it puts a spring in your step that the devil can't take. It puts a hope in your heart that cannot be extinguished. It just changes who you are. And it's done by confessing your sins. It's done when you choose to repent of your sinful ways
and begin to follow the best you can God's ways. It's done when you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And it's done when you ask the Holy Spirit into your heart and you give your life over to the leading of God Almighty. That's when it all makes sense. Let's stand together. Worship team, please. Are you ready to go a little deeper in your faith? You feel like you're inadequate and not able to achieve and that you've been doing poorly. The New Testament does not teach that. What the New Testament teaches is that there is a road, a path that's built for us, that's destiny is exactly where God wants us. And so we want to enter on that path, no matter the difficulties that happen around us. All kinds of chaos, all kinds of commotion, stuff going on. But yet we stand like a man who cannot be killed in battle, a woman who cannot be destroyed. And so we forget the hurtful words that have been said, the condemnation that's fallen on us, and we rise above it all because of the power of God. So I want to tell you this. Though the devil tempts us, though life crushes in on all sides, and though the struggling may be longer than we want it to be, and even longer than we think we can manage, we are never alone in it. God is with us, and so we've got to learn, bury ourselves in Him, turn our problems over to Him, pray to Him daily, and follow Him the best we can. Father, I ask your blessings on this congregation. I pray that you'd watch over them this week, that you'd bring healing to their lives and blessings to them and their family. And I pray, Father, that amidst all the chaos, they would see the cross rising above it all and that they would know that life is certain and that heaven is for sure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.